This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
Okay. What's up, everybody?
Yeah.
Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Pride. Oh, my gosh, you guys.
Woo-hoo!
I got to tell you, this is not complaining at all.
Okay.
It seems like you're complaining.
This is, so we tape a bunch of podcasts, right?
Yes, we love podcasts.
We love taping podcasts. Usually before the live show, we bank a couple of podcasts.
We bank them.
We
like
bank
money
them.
In the bank, because they're going to put our, that's our retirement.
So this is,
that's our retirement.
Yeah. So this is actually the fourth podcast we've taped in a row.
Exactly.
I don't know what we're talking about.
That's I know. You seem a little lost now.
I'm
that's
very
fine.
Lost. I don't know what it is specifically about today, but
did you not sleep well or something?
No, I haven't been sleeping well, so that might be part of it.
Yeah.
But we taped three podcasts before this, and every bit was just bleeding into the next podcast.
That's fine. Just cuddle up and fall into the loving arms of Pete and Justin, and we will take care of you. We will drive
thanks
the plane.
For us. Thanks
but hey,
for us.
Anytime. And let me, while we're here, why don't we give a compliment? Alex designed the T-shirt I'm wearing based on an insane thing that Pete said in a podcast.
Pete said, I spit the mouths. Alvin makes the T-shirt.
As Pete says, we're putting Alex's children through
college
and their lives, I guess.
Well, maybe middle school.
Because Pete is a huge fan of both The Punisher and Phil Donahue, which is an odd combination of things to be like, that's both those things are my jam.
And so we've been recapping Deadly Class on Sci-Fi and
Fantastic. Show.
It's great. Check out Deadly Cast, our podcast for that.
Yeah.
But in the show, the villain of the show, Fuckface, really likes Phil Donahue a lot.
Wants to be on Phil Donahue, which you can't blame him. I mean, it's a popular...
So,
it was Oprah before Oprah.
What's on Justin's shirt came up in the show, and we made a shirt out of it.
Yeah.
It says,
I can't get my Phil Donahue brand.
Yeah. There you go. This makes more sense when you see it. Go to comicbookclub.threadless.com. I see another one in the audience.
Woo!
Over there.
Yeah, merch and tees.
I'll tell you what, she can go to middle school for another week.
That's great.
Yeah. That's
great. Oh, you're that far behind? We're literally paying week by week.
Week by week.
You're right on the edge.
It's funny. It's actually public school, so I don't know why they're making me pay, but I just I keep putting the quarters on the front of the middle school. They keep letting her in.
Oh, you have a pay-o-matic middle school?
It's a vending middle school.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Cool, man. Education.
That's top of the line.
New York City education is fucked
up. Well, guys,
up.
I think it's time to put some quarters in the guest machine and bring our guest out.
Great stuff.
He is a comic book writer. He's a great guy. Very excited to have him on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Wallace.
Welcome back, Bob.
Welcome back.
Bob.
Yeah.
Bob.
Hello.
Have a seat. Have a microphone.
Take off that hat of yours.
Bob. Oh, my goodness. He's coming around. He's shaking all of our hands.
I'll give you one of these. I'm not going to shake that.
You won't shake the hand of a Boston Red Sox fan?
Wow. Yeah, fuck that.
Thanks for inviting me to take my hat off. It makes me feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, feel free. Take it right off. You know what I mean?
Likes to make one stinging comment about every guest as they enter.
It's cool. Whatever you want to do, take off the fucking hat.
Woohoo! Chill environment.
Yeah.
Comic Book Club Live, as usual.
The world is falling apart. So
Bob, you are working on a comic book. You're working on a comic book with a bunch of amazing collaborators as well, right?
I am. And as a matter of fact, I even... In a loud bag so that it would pick up on the microphone.
That's exactly right.
I brought copies for you guys.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting.
This is great.
Oh, good.
And here, you can pass it down.
Nice. Take one, pass it.
Take here one, pass it.
Classic.
Yeah, this is really exciting. This is a comic book magazine.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Or zine.
Zine from back in the day.
Yeah.
And it's called Adventures.
Great
of the
staples.
Monsters.
Right off the bat, though, I just want to say the stapling is fantastic.
Isn't the stapling right on the money?
You really sprung for the staples.
Yeah.
It is a visual record and humor magazine of our ongoing D&D campaign or Pathfinder campaign, if you want to get technical.
Nice.
I do.
But me and five other kids from my hometown. Kids in their 30s, all of us in our 30s.
Yeah.
But we are all from the same weird small town in New England. And
what's the name of the town?
It's called Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Nice. You seem right. like that's a bad thing to say. Is it? Yeah. Is
it's,
that
a,
town?
It's kind of like a like
a
any
lot of people
town.
Died there.
It's like a Lovecraftian like weirdness creeping behind every.
Really?
What have you got? Did you guys grow up in a small town?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He would do.
My town was just bad. There wasn't. There's no like. It was just normal bad. It wasn't like cool bad.
Stephen King's It bad or like.
No, it was like. Let's see. What's the version of bad? I don't know. Boring bad? Is that a thing? Like,
sure.
Is it backwoods bad? Like missing teeth? Like burning?
No, even that's more interesting. It was like. A skateboard accident, a skateboard fail video bad.
Sure. We had that too, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also had the Lovecraft stuff.
Well, I don't know. I think everything feels that way when you're a child. but it's we all happen to grow up there and we've all moved on into different industries and disciplines and into different states of the union. So we play once a week. We play Dungeons and Dragons over like Skype, like Google Hangouts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Roll20 for at least a couple hours.
That's wild. Wow, that's hard to keep up.
Everyone in the game happens to be just like very prolific and creative, so we all just started to like.
Dude, this is packed with great stuff here.
Thanks.
This is
now, let me just mention your collaborators here. So Becky Cloonan, very well-known name to comic book fans.
Yeah, very well-known writer, illustrator, creator, cartoonist, Becky Cloonan.
Yeah. She's great.
Michael Conrad?
Yeah, I think the same could be said for Mike. He'll actually have his second or third book available at Emerald City Comic Con, where we're premiering this. Cool. But yeah, Michael Conrad is also another comic creator.
Now, I can't help but notice there's two more Conrads on here, a Steve Conrad and a Winston Conrad.
Yeah, what's the scam here?
We have one of them in the flesh here, Stephen Conrad.
Oh, shit, I didn't know he was going to be
here. He's a lot bigger than you are, too.
You don't know if he's bigger. He's not standing.
He looks a lot bigger than you.
He definitely looks
like
tougher
over
than me.
In person. It's obvious that you should respect the authority of the dungeon master. He's very
dungeon master.
He looks like a dungeon master.
He's very physically handsome and intimidating.
It's the greasy hair and the beard.
Yeah, like you could talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. And then we got
interesting
Dave Caswell.
Backhand.
Dave Caswell, who is also just like a very hilarious and creative individual, and he's also working on a comic of his own, if I'm not mistaken. A clever bunch.
So let me ask you about this. I feel like we've talked about this on the show before, but D&D feels like it's having a massive comeback, particularly in the past year or so, back into the mainstream. What do you think is behind that? If you agree with that, Bruce.
I mean, for me, I'm just one of those people that oftentimes follows exactly what my close friends are doing. And
nice.
This is the way that I get to continue to hang out with my super close friends from, many of the people in this group, I think, since 1988, 89,
wow.
We've been friends.
Oh, that's a lot.
Well, let me ask you this. If they jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge?
I actually wouldn't. If they burned a bridge, even though I was a lawful good paladin, I would allow it to happen.
Now, let me... I'm a little worried here because it seems like this dungeon master is bullying you into hanging out with him and like doing the things that he says.
And is here right now.
Yeah, like it's a little intimidating.
Bullying you from
are
the
you
audience.
Okay? Like
it seems that way. It's funny
you're
because
you're free to talk now.
We'll
stop him.
I mean, it would appear that way, but we've all been friends for so long that we've all taken turns, I think, bullying each other.
Is he making you wear that hat is a big question, because no sensitive man like yourself would ever root for a New England franchise.
Sure.
A New England franchise like what? Like Brigham's or Blake's? Friendly's? I would root for Friendly's. I do root for Friendly's. Gosh darn it.
You're talking about Friendly's, the restaurant chain?
Yeah.
Ice cream?
Dunkin's. Yeah. I root for them, even though they've become a massive conglomerate.
Why are you rooting for Dunkin' Donuts?
Because they're New England born and bred, baby.
America runs on Dunkin'. They
do.
Don't need you. We're running on them.
We're running all over the place because of them.
When you were tackling putting together a zine, where did the idea start? How did you start deciding to tackle this?
It's funny because it started off, it was supposed to really be this kind of rough and tumble, like rough around the edges thing, kind of like the way that our party behaves in the game. And then everyone just brought the heat.
Yeah, this is very hard, polished.
It's wild, yeah. Right? Look at that.
It's beautiful.
We all ended up collaborating on each other's pages and stuff. And like one person would, I mean, there are certain pages that are just focusing specifically on one character or another. And those carry the signature of the person that made them. But we're kind of all over each other's pages in this. And it started off like, I think a lot of people that play D&D is like, wow, this crazy thing just happened. And I remember it like it happened to me. And I want to draw that or record that somehow so I don't lose that, the vividness of that memory. Mm. And those things just began to pile up. And we started to like compile them into this.
Did, maybe you don't view it this way, but I feel like in a certain sense, playing D&D.
Playing DVDs is
real
the
cool.
Most fun thing you do.
You didn't think he was going to let that go. Did you think for even a second that was just going to like
just
echo off the rafters and yeah. No one
You
would...
think you were going to get away with that mistake, you motherfucker? Because I'm here as the police. When you make a simple little wrong letter, you're done. You're roasted.
It was an opportunity to discuss the now extinct format of digital video. Video disc.
No, not out.
NTSC favorite.
I'm really sorry. Okay, so.
So am I. I'm sorry.
Blu-rays. Blu-rays. Where we're talking
Blu-rays
about.
Discount videos.
D&D, when you're playing it, it's almost intimate, right? Because you are becoming another character. You're spending time with these people, hours with these people, living in this private world. Mm-hmm. Did it feel weird at all to then say, great, we'll take that private world and bring it public?
Well, this is that, right? This is that moment. So,
right now.
I mean, pretty much like this week into fun. Emerald City Comic Con is that experience. So we're going to find out all the surreal, layers of that, I think, in the next couple weeks. And that'll be interesting. So far, it's been really cool because we post stuff online and people are like really supportive of it, especially on Becky's accounts, and they want to tell us about their own campaigns, which yeah. I think is honestly the fervor and zeal with which people are willing to discuss their own intimate D&D encounters is like, you want to hear what they're saying. They're so interested in it, and they're so like urgent to let you know about it. That's been cool. Actually, that's been the coolest thing, is when you put it out there, people want to know, they want to in kind tell you about their own experience.
So in this D&D group, you're a paladin, did you say? Was that?
I play a paladin named Thane.
Nice.
Who's lawful good that actually I collaborated on the creation of with Steve.
Oh, is that allowed? Because he's in charge.
It is allowed because I came in kind of mid-game
after
a few roster changes.
Wow.
I mean, it's a huge
dude,
commitment.
I think
it's
he killed the other guys.
Did he didn't?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, he says he did.
He's saying he did.
Confessing to a murder. Let me ask.
But they were playing it super like chaotic and wild, and I was totally complicit and okay with the idea of like, let's bring in somebody Law and Order.
And that was you.
And that was me.
You're like, wow. Judge Dredd.
And then it totally went tits up. I mean, he was immediately decapitating people and smoking psychedelic moss and doing all sorts of compromising stuff.
Let me ask you guys, what would your D&D character be if we were to start?
Like
if we need to spend more time together.
Great.
Talking to each other.
Love it.
Oh, my
great.
God.
When we put our names on the face of Podcast Mountain, will there be a D&D campaign? And if so, what would it be?
So you're saying what type of character? Here's the weird thing. This is totally inappropriate for me, but whenever I play any sort of fantasy game, I always choose the fighter.
That's cool.
Well, yeah.
The reason I choose the fighter is like, I have no time or interest in anything else, like learning spells or being crafty about stuff. All I want to do is just barrel through everything.
That's
wow, what yeah, a real that, Peter Page.
Yeah.
Like, bigger sword now.
Yeah, that's exactly. You. Just like chop, 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 kill, kill, kill. Let's get this done.
Interesting. Yeah. What a hell twist. Yeah. Pete, what about you? Is it a twist around for you as well?
I don't think so. I mean, I would obviously be a dragon that devours worlds.
Oh, sort of a larger wow. scale.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys would be super compatible in this.
I got to say, the classified section here is amazing.
Thank you. Guess who wrote that?
It's really fun. Oh, the creepy guy? Oh, shit. Hey, what's up, man?
Creepy guy.
Great job on this. I didn't mean to call you creepy.
That was a
compliment. There's nothing creepy here. You guys are sporting the exact same look, for crying out loud.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
it's like
right.
It's like looking in a mirror.
Yeah, seriously. It's like we put a mirror between the stage and the audience and just over there. What would your type be, Justin?
I think it would be this gentleman right here. I would just be him.
Part man, part giant is what you would be?
Yeah.
I can see you being a bard.
Bard? Yeah, I haven't heard me
inspiring
sing.
Inspiring people.
Inspiring?
Wait, did you call him a barb?
A bard.
Bard.
Bard. Bard. Like the dude, he's got a lute, he's sort of when fun.
You haven't played a lot of D&D. Usually it breaks like down to Stranger Things characters. Yeah. So you would be a Barb, you'd be a Will, I'd be an 11.
That's nice. Good. You're an 11?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're a 10 at best.
He loves like a waffles.
I'm an 11 when I go back to Merrimack, but in Brooklyn I'm like a 4.
Oh, shit, wow.
So people can pick this up at Emerald City Comic Con,
that is the first place that it will be available to the public. Yeah. And it'll be, at Emerald City Comic Con, which I'm like super excited about because I swore off going attending comic book conventions.
Oh, I want to know more about that.
Because I just have had sort of vague ambitions to create a comic for so long that it was making me sad. To go as a fan. And I was like, I'm not going to allow myself to go back.
Because you're seeing other people pursue their dreams.
Exactly.
And,
But now you get to show up like a heroic paladin.
Yeah, rocking the zines.
Shining armor.
Here's my suggestion. We've been to a lot of Comic Cons. You got to walk in there and punch the biggest guy in the room.
Yeah.
Who is him?
Yeah, that's right. That's good. He'll probably be right next to you.
Yeah, so just punch him right in the face. Is there a place people could pick it up other than Emerald City Comic Con at this point?
Actually, we were talking to Becky earlier today and discussing the possibility that this will become available on Comixology.
Very cool.
Nice.
After the con.
All right.
That's cool. Awesome.
After the con is this weekend.
Sorry, after the con!
I get it.
You're going Wow. Wow. You are a fighter.
I own the
barreled
DVD.
Right through him. Yeah. No. You have the DVD?
I'm a Star Wars guy. I'm just being a rabble rouser.
Yeah, no. There's no shame in that. That's what we're here for.
So cool. Head to Emerald City Comic Con. Definitely pick up Adventures of the Moss Babies. Where will it be at? Are you guys having a separate table?
It will be in Artist Alley at the Mystery School Comics Group table.
Ooh, very cool.
So awesome. Yeah, and you can follow Mystery School on Instagram for updates or any of us. Actually, we're all posting about it like pretty much every day up until the con and probably way afterwards.
All right, awesome. Definitely check that out. We're going to move on with the rest of our show, specifically the stack.
Specifically,
I don't want to be vague this time. Usually, I'm very vague. We're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this week. Kick it off with The Avengers number 15. Don't know if you've heard of this team. They're a hot upcoming team.
Yeah,
of superheroes.
Real upstarts.
Now, Justin, fall for the
underdogs?
What's that? Well, did I fall for the cover? What do you mean by that?
There is a gentleman on the cover saying, if you don't buy this book, the Avengers die. Is that why you bought the book?
Yes. I single-handedly saved the Avengers.
Thank you.
Without me buying this, the movie would not come out.
So, which Avenger is that on the cover?
Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Is that Robbie?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I like him.
Yeah,
he's great. Nice. And this cover, you guys probably picked up on it, but Jason Aaron was very excited about
Very proud of this on Twitter.
Very proud of it. It is a play on an old National Lampoon cover.
An homage.
By this book, or We'll Kill This Dog.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Except they have a demon dog saying, buy this comic or we'll kill this Avenger.
So a turnaround. Dogs win.
Yeah.
It's dog revenge is what this
oh,
is.
Oh, man. It's cute. I don't know. I mean, the book itself is great. It's a lot of fun. He's having a great time fighting the Avengers versus vampires. But the cover is really good. Like, there's a lot of not particularly good or very generic covers. It's very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a good change.
Yes.
You can judge.
How do you guys feel about this book?
It's fun. I mean, vampires, I think we talked about this recently. Vampires feel like a little out of the Avengers universe of like, let's fight these guys. But it's cool. I like Blade being on the Avengers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like the way that Jason Aaron is really tackling Ghost Rider and sort of developing a whole new chapter in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like Ghost Rider was very cool when he first arrived. It was like, who's that guy with the flames coming out of his skull? And then eventually it was like, there's too much already. There's like 9 Ghost Riders and then they're different shaped skulls, too much flame. Culminating in Nicolas Cage pissing fire in the movie.
I think specifically.
And then we've been on a downturn since then.
Yes. Specifically for Robbie, he had his origin. The look was so good. It was so clean, so different for Ghost Rider. The origin was exciting with the car instead of the bike, which
I love
know
the
sounds
car.
Like a small change. But
change up the mode of transportation.
But it was really fun. And then there hasn't been much done with him since. Like, there has been a lot done, but it hasn't really been interesting.
Hasn't stuck.
Exactly.
Pete, what do you think of the car over the motorcycle?
Now, at first I was pissed.
Yeah.
But then I read the origin story.
At first I was pissed, the Pete LePage story.
That's true. You got me. But I really was moved by it. And then I got really into the comic.
You were moved by it?
I was moved
that
by it.
That first arc is quite the heartbreak.
Yes.
Okay.
The art is very cool.
Sure.
It's really hard for me because I like what you're talking about. But then I look at your hat and it makes me so angry. So it's emotionally it's tough. But
keeps the stage lights out of my eyes.
Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Right. Wait, let me just follow up.
Also, they did a great job in S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I agree.
The TV show.
That was terrible.
Robbie Reyes was great in that.
Look, it's season, what, like 3 or 4? If you don't know what to expect by then, then that's
that
on
so
you.
Bad.
Right?
Wait, are you saying our expectations should be so low that we're like, hey, they
No, because tone-wise, it's sort of like more in the vein of like something that's a little campier than the cinematic universe.
Yeah, it fits really good.
Sure, but I'll just throw it out to you. This is just for the Ghost Rider arc. What if the writing and acting was bad? Which it was.
Ooh, that's a big what if.
Come on, man.
That's a fun what if.
Gets him up there, though. I wasn't a huge fan of the DC animated Damian Wayne, but it, like, got him out there.
Oh, interesting.
You know?
That's the thing. You got to put
like,
your
got,
name
it
out
got
there.
Him, yeah, because yeah, I'm really rooting for this icon of a major conglomerate for some reason. I don't know why.
I have a soft spot for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., don't get me wrong. Like, I actually think the last season was kind of great.
What's happening right now? This is weird. Take a turn.
I agree, man.
Let's get back to making fun of people.
This is like a sweet turn. Like a sweet
turn. I
want
to get that back on you when you said DVD. That was crazy.
And then
that was not what you
meant. We never resolved the Barb misunderstanding. Because it can also be short for barbarian in D&D terms.
Okay, here we go.
We're getting real lost.
What about a barbarian that plays the loot?
The first season of Lost was super.
It's my favorite TV show of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian, and you know what? Dude. The finale doesn't erase those like strong memories.
The finale. I think it was fantastic and a
you
perfect.
You loved
episode.
The finale?
No,
I love that stained glass
were you moved?
Window.
That's as bad as saying you are moved by the car. It's saying I love the Lost finale.
No, we can argue.
What about the True Detective finale?
He wasn't moved by the car.
Sunday.
He was moved by the relationship between the brothers.
Yes.
Man, come on, get with
Here's
the program.
This guy speaks. Yes. He knows.
You can't
what's
be
up.
Mad at the Lost finale because they just spend the time slow mo hugging to. A music montage. That's what the whole show was about.
Slow-mo hugging?
Slow-mo hugging was what the whole show was about.
They originally were going to call the show Slow-mo Hugging, and they're like, Lost.
Didn't fit on the screen with that weird sound effect.
Yeah. Wildstorm, cool. Number 20 from DC Comics. This is a reinvention of the classic line of comics by Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
What did you think about this, Justin?
I've been wanting to talk about this book for a long time. This little pocket of the DC Universe is so good. No one talks about this. It's drawn beautifully.
We're talking about
We're talking about it. But I'm saying no one else.
I just want to thank you for bringing this show because... Yes. This is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The fight sequences alone are worth picking.
It took a whole... It's
this
one
is
fight
Warren sequence. Ellis taking a modern look at the classic characters for the Wildstorm
universe.
You got
your Wildcats.
This is Apollo versus Midnighter, just a big fight the
entire
issue.
Well, they're not really versed. They're sort of...
Yeah, sure. They're together.
Yeah.
But they do look like they're fighting, but sure. They're not.
It's great. The art's great. It's fun. It's good.
It's phenomenal.
You really like, Greg. You're a big fan of Apollo and Midnighter, right?
That is true.
Yes, for sure. And this is, I feel like what Warren Ellis is doing a great job here is changing up the pacing of his stories. Each issue feels like it stands alone. I mean, he is like a master of the comic book art form, and I feel like what he's really putting that on display in just like your standard superhero comic book world, and I'm surprised it's not getting more attention.
Yeah, it's really
speaking
impressive.
Of more attention... And Warren Ellis. I just ran across this little ad right here.
Yeah, yeah. That's where your buddy Damien.
That's my boy Damien right there.
Yeah, he's really putting himself out
there. He's out there.
More importantly, though,
yes.
Becky Cloonan is on this list.
There she is.
In tandem with Warren Ellis.
Yes.
Are you playing Six Degrees of Separation?
Can I grab that for a second?
Yes,
I just want to mention something. Becky is great at everything. There are, I think, on this list of creators for Detective Comics 1000, there's Becky Cloonan and one other woman, and that's it, which I feel like is a bummer.
Yeah.
That's all. That's pretty much my whole statement about it, but I feel like...
I mean, that is true for that, but I would also argue across all of the Batman titles, there are not a lot of female creators.
Well, they did the same thing with the Superman 1000, or Action Comics 1000, I guess it was, where it was like 99% male creators. There are other creators out there. I feel like DC could be doing a better job of reaching out.
They're behind Marvel, though,
yeah.
in like having more diversity in their,
yes.
their creatives.
It's kind of crazy because the DC books have been good, but they've been doing a bad job of that.
Yes.
Well, not that anyone asked for my comment.
No, we want your comment.
No, we literally asked you here to comment.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, if I were doing Detective Comics 1000, I would want like the best in the biz. So I would definitely call Becky first.
Nice.
And then those other guys, I don't really know, I don't know much about them, so.
Wow.
Wow.
It's all whatever after that.
Takedown.
I'm not sure what I'm surprised more, but that admits the fact that you don't read comic books because there's a lot of big names on there, right?
Yeah.
I didn't like.
Or if you're just hard
none of them rung
your
a
girl,
bell,
Becky.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
Cloonan, though. Cloonan rings out, right?
Cloonan, it just says
Cloonan
a word.
Rings out.
Cloonan.
And then, I don't know, Warren Ellis, he's the Castlevania cartoon guy, right?
No, wow.
Super good show.
That's what he's best known for. Yeah.
Love it.
I will say, did you guys...
He's done a lot of stuff. You should check him out.
Whoa, did you guys watch that Castlevania cartoon?
Hell yeah.
Because it's not great.
What?
But it's... And every time if I leave my Netflix on the screen, it advertises the shit out of that Castlevania.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Netflix knows you should be watching.
I watched it already. Don't tell me something I already know, and I didn't even
Netflix
like it.
Netflix is like, hey, Justin, man.
Give me another chance, hey, Justin.
Okay.
That's Dracula.
Dracula.
Last one to talk about, Guardians of the Galaxy number 2, also Woo-hoo! From Marvel Comics. Now, Thanos is dead. There's a new Guardians of the Galaxy. Most of the heroes of the galaxy have been sucked into a wormhole or a black hole or something like that.
Some hole.
What do you think about this issue? We love the first issue.
Speaking of emotions, this one here is...
this one's got him.
Got him, yeah.
Speaking of emotions.
Yes.
I feel Pete being moved once again.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm moved. move by
was
the
there a car
spaceship?
Here or
yeah, spaceship? Some sort of space, spaceship, yeah. Some sort of vehicle.
Yeah, some sort of.
You should see Pete on the subway. He's just weeping. I can't believe all these wheels.
Yeah, my mascara's always running. Yeah. It's rough.
Oh, and also Pete does a lot of eye makeup when he goes to work. Yeah. His mascara is very rich. He's a smoky eye. Yes. For those of you who've never seen Pete in person, very smoky eye.
Pete, we should mention his full-time job is working at a Kiss impersonation factory.
When you said a Kiss impersonation factory.
We should also mention that I have a really smoky eye right now.
That's true.
Do you?
You can't say things like that to me. Yeah. Kiss impersonation factory, man. No. Get the giggles on the track and mess it all up.
The giggles are on the track.
So Peter Quill is kind of really broken up about the whole... What's going on with Gamora?
His team, many of them died.
Yeah, it's an emotional issue. Yeah, and it's like the team's very divided, and it's rough to see them like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I feel like this comic is a big story, and they're doing a great job of keeping it tight to the characters where we get to actually feel what they're going through. And it's also dealing with a lot of Marvel continuity, like Eros being Thanos' brother and how like his like fucked up motivations. And like that's some deep shit in the Marvel universe. And
there's a bunch of characters that they introduce here where... that are obscure to the point where several characters are like, who are you? Several times in the issue. It's great. It's really fun. We talked a lot with the first issue about how much setup there was for everything and they're really following through on that. They introduce a Dark Guardians this issue. Great. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's good.
Cool. That's it for the stack. All right, guys. We're going to move on to our next section. This is my favorite section because you guys
make
it up.
Oh, yeah. It's your favorite audience section.
Let's go to this guy first.
Great choice.
What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
You did D&D in a zine, and it's, a nice, matchup there because, they both, harken back to, like, the 70s and, that raw period there. And then you also referenced the National Lampoon cover with that. So what are some other elements from that era that you would like to see come back in comics?
Ooh, interesting. Wow. 70s and, like, maybe
that's
early
80s. That's a great
80s.
Question. Thank you.
Like, Silver Age-y comics.
You meant just in general. I was like,
from
70s?
Life in the
70s? Yeah, I was like, let's get rid of seatbelts. You know what I mean? Like, let's fucking get crazy.
What are you talking about? Let's get rid of seatbelts. That's the crotchetiest old man shit. And there's a lot of that on this show over the years. And that's the crotchetiest shit that you were excited to say.
Fuck
seatbelts.
Let dad have his road soda back and no seatbelts.
Exactly. Yeah, cops don't let you drink anymore in the car. Seatbelts. I can't believe you got to have a truck beeping when it backs up. A guy back up.
It does suck you can't drink anymore like that,
I guess
in a car. Pete, how old were you in the 70s? What fantasy world were you like, man, this seatbelt is fucking awesome that it's not here?
Yeah, I'm also sad you can't drink and drive, Pete.
Yeah.
I'm real bummed about that.
Yeah. Great. So we have... that answer from Pete, and I guess that applies to comic books too. Fewer seatbelts in comics,
right? Yep. I mean, that's why you like Ghost Rider because he doesn't wear a seatbelt, right?
Exactly.
In his car.
Well, he has a harness sometimes.
That's true. Well, I don't know, harness.
Not that I read comics or know who any of those other
that's
people
are. That's a guess. You're just guessing?
List.
I bet he's harnessed in it.
I bet he is harnessed in like 6 out of the 14 of the first run.
Yeah,
you guys at home, please check the original Ghost Rider comics. Let us know how many times he's wearing a harness. Hit us up at Comic Book Live. We really
I'm going to say that's zero.
Great. I think we answered that question.
Oh, we're moving on already?
I will say 70. Thank you for catching the references. That is a little. He's got a little Adam Ant flavor on the cover there.
There you go.
More 80s. And then... I think there's maybe a little Monty Python influence that you could safely say in the book.
Nice.
But to 70s, I actually was revisiting those Adina comics, the Mobius run. That's actually like from 70s all the way into like the very end of his career.
Yeah.
And
It's also got like a little Highlights magazine feel to it as well.
Thank you. That's 80s, great. 90s stuff.
Yeah,
we're bringing it all the way back into the 2020s. but I think a 70s trend that I want to see come back is that kind of like simplified single art style, like really precise anatomy and great scale relationships that like sell those big sci-fi or fantasy ideas. But rendered with the simplicity of like a cartoon.
Like your George Perez style.
Boom, yeah. And I'm seeing some of it. Like there's shades of it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that out there right now.
Because people are starting to finally get to read Mobius because he's been sort of out of circulation for a while.
Yeah. I feel like on the sort of Mobius tip, just like in general, like I feel like the Silver Age is a little bit more like do whatever you want. It doesn't have to all match up continuity wise. You don't have to like be so precious about everything where it's just like, this is a fun, slightly weird psychedelic-y take on this character. Let it ride. Like let's open the doors a little bit on that.
And there was some of that in like an X-Men Legacy or like other comics where they would let them riff. And, like, maybe even, like, jam comics from the 70s. Yeah. Like, multiple artists who aren't really talking to each other, working on the same thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a really wonderful question. Thank you very much.
Wow, that's a nice way to bring it back together.
Cool. Any other questions? Anybody here? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Great.
Now, I'll mention, normally I ask people who they are. You had eye surgery today, sir? Is that correct?
Wow.
Yesterday.
Wow. You had eye surgery yesterday. You're here only to ask a question, I assume. That's pretty much it, right? So what is your question?
Hi, I'm John, and I want to take the Secret Punisher quiz.
All right, nice. Sir. Secret yes, you. Quiz. Yes, you may. Now,
can I borrow this just to set this up for our guest, Bob? Sorry, Pete. So, Pete, the short version is he revealed to us back in December that he has been running a secret Punisher quiz on the show for 5 years.
He's been having it available without telling anyone.
Right.
It's like
like a video game Easter egg.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sure. Yeah, like I guess that's true. But in real life, it's like if you walked into like a Bed Bath & Beyond and they were like 5 years later, they were like, oh, did you know that we have a restaurant here?
What?
But they didn't tell anybody.
Right. So there's been a
like
prize.
Fried calamari. And stuff.
Exactly. They were running like an old school Italian restaurant at the back of Bed Bath & Beyond.
So what this good gentleman over here just said is the way of unlocking the quiz. He's now going to go through a series of questions. If he makes it through the questions, he'll have to complete a physical challenge. Which is really mean to do to a guy who just had eye surgery.
Yep.
And if he completes the physical challenge, he can get the prize, which has been hiding in Pete's beautiful pile of wonderful Punisher tributes.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
For, oh, what?
Yep, that's right.
Wait, what?
The prize. No, as we all know, the prize is at his if you
we
want
don't
it,
know what prize he's going to choose. He has prize options.
There's a prize
here. Wait, hold on.
This is like a weird onion where it keeps revealing more layers.
The prize is in your pile of Punisher junk, right?
Don't call it junk. First of all, Punisher, there's an apron made that is just one of the most immaculate things I've ever seen in my life.
Pile, don't get stuck on that.
Yep.
In your pile of Punisher treasures.
Treasures.
Thank you.
And let me just say, when he was like, that's trash, and you were like, there's an apron in there.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
Everything about me is crazy.
I know. I'm just saying, just so you know, you're defending this apron with your life, but that sounds crazy to anyone that doesn't know what you're talking about.
That's right. All that needs to happen is that Brett Macris knows what I'm talking about.
You're calling out literally.
He made this for me.
Let me explain
it's
that.
It's beautiful.
There's a guy named Brett Macris who is one of our patrons. He's also gives New Orleans history to our Cloak and Dagger podcast.
Yeah, he's a correspondent.
He is a professional chef and makes these amazing, amazing homemade aprons. So that's what Pete is talking about.
Yes.
But
that you call a pile of trash.
No, just Pete. Just listen to me for a second.
No, the apron's nice. It's just all the other trash around it.
Fuck you.
Right. Okay, so you got a pile of Punisher treasures. In those treasures is the prize if you win the Punisher quiz and complete the finish line challenge?
No, see, you're trying to sum up something that is... if he chooses...
This is a fucking thing to explain to me.
You know, I could do it very easily, but you have to rehash, and then you get caught up on weird details.
You're not a fucking wizard!
I'm not trying to be a wizard.
This is a weird fight. Sort of a weird brother fight that's happening here.
If he chooses, he can select a prize from within, or there are other options.
There's another prize, and to get the other prize.
What are you talking
from
about?
Within himself.
When we get there, it will all become clear. But you're fucking taking up all this bullshit time.
Let's move on to the quiz.
Jesus Christ. But let me mention, I asked Pete to please repeat the questions. I know you know the answers already, but just so whoever hasn't heard this before, he is going to go through.
Do you think that someone is just listening to this specific episode for the first time?
Yes.
They're skipping years of Comic Book Club, and they're just checking it out right now.
A lot of people are showing up specifically for the Punisher quiz because they know that you keep a prize at your house, and the only way to get that prize is to go to your house.
All right, so for the people who bucked off after Lock and Key, where we kind of lost you guys, and then they're like back the next week, and they're like, ugh, forget this. Yeah. You lost those people. I'm just being straight with you. The people have slowly started to migrate back.
Yeah, they're.
And this is your second chance, man, and look what's happening.
Wow. Bob really laying it down for us. Real scolding from the fucking paladin over here. Makes a lot of sense.
Lawful good, man.
Lawful good. Well, a little bit condescending. Let's throw that in there.
Unfortunately, anybody...
Condescending good.
Look, anybody that's ever had to play lawful good in a D&D party knows that you... Unfortunately, you just really have to be condescending. There's no other way around
it. Is that a weakness, though? Or you...
It is.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah, it's painful.
Well, a lot of people keep that fantasy stuff, though, in their game.
I thought you were going to say in your pants. All right, here we go. Okay.
What do you think he meant by that?
don't. He's in the middle of the Punisher thing right
now.
No,
I mean, like, was that a slight... Just objective third party.
Yeah.
No, not a slight.
That wasn't shade.
He just goes blue a lot.
No, that was a slight, I think. A sleight of hand. Ooh. Let's do the quiz.
Ooh. All right.
Roll D20 for sleight of hand.
To recap, what was the name of the fictional character that inspired the Punisher? The answer is the Executioner.
Let him answer the questions.
It's the Executioner.
Thank you.
He got that one.
Okay, in the 1990s Marvel DC crossover event, who did the Punisher?
Joker.
That's right, Joker. And from 1974 to 2011, what is the Punisher's kill count?
48,000 something.
48,502, correct.
Great.
And what was the comic Punisher first made his appearance in? 1974 Amazing Spider-Man. Number 129.
Great. Okay. Very specific.
Here we go. Fast forwarding to the question where we left off last time. In the comics, Frank chooses the skull while in Vietnam hunting blank. Is it A, the Viet Cong, B, a sniper named the Monkey, or C, the rival assassin codenamed Bushwhacker? Last week you said Viet Cong, which was wrong. Your two choices now are either B or C.
Yeah, last week I didn't know, but there was one I discounted immediately because it was really stupid, and it was a sniper called Monkey. And it was a sniper called Monkey.
It is. A sniper named the Monkey. Yep.
Nice.
That is correct. That is correct. Moving on to the final question. Here we go. Who didn't like the original name and thought it was too evil, so they suggested the Punisher as a better alternative? Is it A, Jerry Conway, mm-hmm. B, Stan Lee, or C, Steve Ditko?
It was Stan Lee.
It was Stan Lee.
And he actually already had a Punisher. It was like a robot thing.
Yeah. It was one. If it was already
for
a character.
I can give a little clarification of that. It was one of Galactus's robots called, not the Punisher, but Punisher. And Stan Lee basically was like, nobody read that comic. Call him the Punisher. Yeah, that's what happened.
This is from the guy who was like, it should all be one story, and there should be like four Hanks.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. That means you step forward to the shrine for the physical challenge.
Wait, what?
Okay, here we go.
This is very close to unlocking. The stakes are very high, Pete.
Okay, here we go.
Build some tension.
My doctor says I can't even, like, bend over.
So. Okay, all right.
Okay, there'll be no bending over.
So, the final part of the Punisher quiz, the secret Punisher quiz, is how many Punisher items are in and a part of this shrine. Now, if you want, you can count the slippers as one item or two separate items.
And can I mention, this is not a physical challenge.
That's correct.
Wait, hold on. You've been calling it a physical challenge.
No, somebody said it and I ran with it because I thought it was funny.
They're physical
objects.
It's not,
though. It's a counting challenge.
It's physical reality.
Yep, there we go.
Jesus Christ.
I mean,
physical reality.
Mm-hmm. I know there are three.
Okay,
that's good.
There's got to be...
Well, first, let's back up the truck. Do you want to count the slippers as one item?
Why are you
or
asking
two?
Him
I was
this?
Because it's got to be an exact number. We're going to count together to see
You're
if
gonna
he's right.
You're going to count together. Okay, great. Right.
Counting together like is Jeopardy. The physical challenge.
Yeah. Just like on Jeopardy when they do it together.
All right, mm-hmm. So the slippers are one.
Okay.
The apron's two.
Okay, great.
The hat is three.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
There's at least one secret prize in there.
Okay. Okay.
So that's going to be like four or five. Five?
Okay.
I think there's two prizes in that.
Okay.
Interesting. How would he ever know this?
So,
fun fact, everything that's in there has been displayed on or around the shrine at some point over the 5 years.
You just have to be
present for every single one, physically present, which nice. Disqualifies everyone.
So I'm going to say... And I hate this. Five.
You're going to say five?
Oh, shit.
That's your final answer. Five.
He sounds angry. Careful. Right. I think he might be giving you a clue through his anger. But honestly, you could say truly any. There could be any number of things over there.
There could be a lot. I mean, yeah, five. Let's do it.
All right, man. So we're calling the Punisher slippers as one, right?
Wait, are you going to tell him how many?
In which case,
I don't know. We got to count. We got to find out.
Okay.
It's going to be 48,000.
Yeah, exactly.
There's one.
600 bullets in there.
Two. Apron. Three. Hat. We have four. The Punisher wall that's sticking out of the side here.
Nice. That's four. But you are revealing how many things there are.
Five.
Damn it.
And then the ski hat, six. And there might be more stuff in the ski hat. There is more stuff in the ski hat. It is a lot more than five, my friend. Good
this
try.
Is like, this egg. Great job. This is like watching a dad who's throwing a birthday party for his son. You're like, hey, sorry, you didn't pass the quiz. The clown's not coming.
I was.
You passed it. Nope. No presents. You should have known how old you were before we started this. You didn't blow out all the candles. Go home.
I was going to say it's like Guy Ritchie's Sherlock Holmes, where it gets to the end and you're like, how the fuck would I ever have been able to solve the mystery from home?
That's true.
You just told me all this extra shit at the end.
So
what I like about this is...
Zalbin, to answer your original question...
What was my original question?
So if he got that correct... He could have anything from the shrine of his choosing besides the apron.
Nice.
And or he could have, he has two mystery gift options.
One which of which I is keep, that, which, they're which, both at your home.
Yeah, which okay. I keep in my house.
And when the most important prize there is you get to go to Pete's home.
No, I will bring it the following week.
Oh, okay, so the two mystery prizes are at your home, not in the hat, where you've hidden clearly a bunch of cockroaches or something like that.
Oh, my God, cockroaches.
I don't know.
Why do you always go disgusting?
No, they're Punisher roaches.
Sorry about that. All I know is you've had a pile of dirty clothes sitting here for 5 years with something rotting inside.
No, there's an apron in there.
Yeah, thank you. A beautifully made apron.
With some food probably in the pockets.
Beautifully
that attracts
made.
Roaches.
No.
That's how you get
so only bullets.
We
the
know
pockets.
There's six plus items. So the question stands now for John or really anyone who wants to ask, but no one else has. this is really John's prize to lose, let's be honest. Yeah. It's more of a waiting game to how long he's going to be like, is it seven? All right, see you next week when I say the number eight.
And we should mention, if any of you want to play along at home, the pile is crawling with ads. So whatever that implies to you. Whatever it implies.
They would have to be Punisher ants.
Great.
Count well,
that was a great random number guessing game.
Yep.
Let's move it on to even more trivia with Pete LePage.
Pete LePage, star of trivia.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of the hand. Yes!
That's what we wanted.
Come on up, sir. Come on up. Here.
Come on over there.
Please, where I'm standing. Here you go.
And I don't want to just call you Mountain Man. Please, what is your name?
My name is Steve.
Steve. Audience Steve.
Hello.
It was a lovely name, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you three questions. You get all three questions right. $25 yours. Today's trivia is just on general comic book knowledge. Here we go. What network is working on a Stumptown TV show?
Ooh.
Based on the comic book. Is it A, ABC, B, NBC, or is it C, Otho? So it's either A, NBC. You already know? Oh, man. B, NBC, or definitely not C.
I'm going to say A.
A is correct, Steve.
Yes.
Very nice.
Okay, here we go. Question number two. Whose script will be used as the basis for Guardians of the Galaxy 3? Is it A, Kevin Feige, B, James Gunn, or is it C, Gina Davis? So it's either A, don't pick it,
right,
or it's B, James Gunn. Yes,
yep. Nice.
That is correct.
Controversial.
Which is messed up. They're still using his script after they fired him.
Oh, I bet that he wants that, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool then.
Yeah.
He gets money still, right?
Yeah, he gets paid for it.
Oh, he does?
And plus, it's exciting he worked on. He did it. He did the whole thing.
For sure.
It's great news.
That is good news.
Plus, he did the first two, sort of.
Okay. Why sort of?
Well, there was help, but there was other people.
Okay, all right.
There were other people.
Here we go.
Whole company.
Last one. The Just Society returns in which comic? Is it A, Doomsday Clock number 10? B, Justice League number 17, or C, the handbook for the recently deceased? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick something else.
I think I'm going to go with A.
$25 is yours.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Great. And I think we have another secret quiz off of that quiz, because as you know, Pete's third answers always form some sort of pattern. Yep. I got to say, I know what the pattern is, and it's coming to Broadway very soon, but what's your guess?
It's Beetlejuice.
That is correct. Beetlejuice.
Yeah, there
it is.
Go.
And that's, you said it twice, so be careful.
I won't say it again, but I will say Steve Conrad is also a really good photographer, and you should follow his Instagram. It's SD Conrad.
Nice. What happens if we say Steve Conrad three times?
Hopefully he gets more followers.
Oh, nice. Ooh, great.
And
nice.
Thereby more photography work.
Ooh, cool.
That's great.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to? And please describe what you like about the title.
Yeah, or turn it into a quiz or something.
Yeah. I am looking forward to Martian Manhunter number 3.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're making a fun decision about this character, and I like the kind of tone and stuff that I'm a big fan of Martian Manhunter, and I like the choices they're making with him.
That's great.
Great.
I'm looking forward to Ice Cream Man number 10 from Image Comics.
Yeah. So creepy.
It's a horror anthology series following a horrifying ice cream man and a potential sort of adversary to him, the cowboy. It's a great series. It's super scary. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, and if you want to check out a review of it, check out our Stack podcast, which goes to the Comic Book Club live feed every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. We'll have a review of that. I'm looking forward to Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 2 from Boom Studios. This is a reinvention of Buffy, modernizing it, tweaking the situations, tweaking the characters a little bit. But the art is great. The story is great. As a Buffy fan, I was originally thrown by issue one, but really dug it by the end of the issue. I'm very much looking forward to issue two. Bob, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Thank you. I would say follow me on Instagram, Bob Wallace, WALLES, for updates about Emerald City Comic Con and Adventures of the Moss Babies, Heroes of Sandpoint, a heartbreaking work of staggering paranoia, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Goblins, Book 1 of 1, Rise of the Goon Lords, a D&D Pathfinder zine by Becky Cloonan, Michael Conrad, myself, Steve Conrad, Dave Caswell, and Winston Conrad.
Wow. Cool. What a title. Paid by the word.
Yeah. And we should mention there's actually no content in there. It's just the title. The
title is various re-templating of the words from the title.
Different fonts.
Cool. Check all of that out. Also, a couple of other things to plug. We have a regular Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark. Also, a Deadly Class podcast called Deadly Cast. In addition, all these podcasts, they cost a little bit of money to do. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Bob for being on the show.
I want to thank you guys. Come on.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, I want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming on.